Your Steve Jones Show podcast will start shortly. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Brewers Outlet, your beverage supermarket on Reagan Street in Sunbury. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome you to the Steve Jones Show, News Radio 1070 WKOK. You can find us at stevejonesshow.com on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter at Steve Jones PSU. And you can contact us with your emails, stevejones@wkok.com. Sean Carey with you. Steve on the way in as we move toward the weekend. Of course, our Friday edition of the Steve Jones Show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, the beverage supermarket on Reagan Street in Sunbury. Stock up for everything you need. You got a phenomenal lineup of college football this weekend, so don't fall short on the beverages, the snacks, the water, the soda. And, of course, all the great peanuts and pickles they've got, too, at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury. And, of course, our show not possible without our friends at Sunbury Motors. Sunbury Motors, Ford Lincoln Hyundai in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury. And Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And once we're done here at 5, we'll get to the late afternoon, late day news roundup with Jennifer Wakeman. And be with you till 6:30. And, of course, then we get into our high school football coverage tonight on WKOK with Shemokin at Shikellamy. It will be live coverage at Shikellamy Stadium at 6:30 with Mike Ferlazzo and the coach Dick Hort, and kickoff at 7. Of course, our sister stations have you covered with great high school football tonight with Lewisburg-Montoursville on 100.9 The Valley, Seawolds Grove at Jersey Shore on Eagle 107, and Southern Columbia at Milton on Talk Radio 1380 WMLP. And while the games are going tonight, we encourage you to go to our high school scoreboard page at WKOK.com. You'll also find links to all four streaming audio of the games tonight. Bop from game to game and keep tabs on all the scores as they come in this evening as we get them. And I'll be over on Eagle 107 tonight. We'll wrap up the night with Sunbury Motors game night. Hard to believe it is week 6, the start of the second half of the high school football season tonight. And Steve, tomorrow, of course, will be here on WKOK with Jack and Derek and Raj at 2 o'clock with the tailgate show outside the Jordan Center as Penn State takes on Minnesota. 3:30 kick at Beaver Stadium. Next Saturday, the homecoming game is noon versus Maryland, so we'll have an early 10:30 tailgate start here on your Penn State station, News Radio 1070, WKOK. But, of course, that is next week. This week, the game in hand is Minnesota, and we'll have more information regarding the Golden Gophers. Steve, have a chance to talk to a beat reporter from Minneapolis coming up later on in the show. And like we always do every Friday, around 4:35, Steve's brother, imported from Connecticut, Kevin Jones, will be joining us. Kevin and I currently tied in our football picks.
Stop bragging.
No.
Stop,
I'm not bragging. I'm just throwing.
Stop bragging.
I'm just throwing the information out. That's not a brag whatsoever.
Oh, that's you know what? That's what they all say.
Okay? You could tell the tone of my voice. It was nothing. It was not a pot shot toward you. I would never do that to you.
You could tell by the tone of your voice that you're bragging.
But yeah, we got a ginormous college football menu this weekend, so we can't wait to chop those games up and get our picks in and head into the weekend. So, but Brother Kev will be here at 4:35, and if everything falls into place, Brother Kev will be in your presence next weekend for the Maryland game.
He better be.
Yeah.
He better be. Well, for the first time ever.
Oh, really?
His nephew's son is going to be here.
Wonderful. So,
yes, tonight. Young Ryan Michael will make his first ever
Happy Valley appearance.
Happy Valley appearance. Bring the little guy in. Bring him on. I can tell you right now exactly what I'm going to be doing for 2 hours tonight. You want to know what exactly I'm going to be doing for 2 hours? For two straight hours, all I'm going to do is hold them. All right? That's what I do. For 2 hours, we hold them. Ah, what a joy and a half. Because when I went up to New York, that's the only thing I did. The only thing I did was I sat there for 2 hours and held them. And guess what? You never get bored. It's great. You don't get bored, my man. You don't. All right. Great to have you with us. Let's see. We got a lot going on in today's show.
Yeah, you got a Golden Gophers beat reporter coming up later on.
Yep. I do. Tony DeFazio, Pittsburgh Sports Report. We got a high school football. We do have an update on the suit. We were sent a picture today. For those who realize, he's in the hospital. And he was in a hospital gown. And there are very few times in my life I've been more frightened. I mean, it was... Now, we can laugh because he's improved.
He has, yeah.
So, which is good. We can laugh because he's improved. Believe me, we love him.
Get a little work done on the ticker, get a valve all straightened out, things going great, and going to be able to eat solid food tonight from what we hear. So, Kev was FaceTiming his son this morning before he went to school, so it was great to see.
Well, Jen, is Jen there?
I believe so.
Yeah. Because there's only really one thing that Jen and I care about with this. I mean, if I get Jen in there, I think she'll confirm this for me.
We're gonna get her on the microphone here.
Yeah,
she's on the mic.
There we go. Good. Because I mean, when it comes to this situation, yeah, I mean, we care a lot about his health, but I mean, this goes in multiple layers. So, is she all mic'd up there?
Another second or two.
Another second or two.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. Well, we'll get that taken care of. And then we got high school football tonight, by the way. Shikalimi's got a big one with Shimokin coming up tonight. That should be a heck of a game.
Yep. Mike and Coach will be on at 6:30.
Yeah, 7 o'clock will be the kickoff. And then you've got the scoreboard on Eagle 107 tonight
as
well.
As soon as Pat and Ryan and Zach are done in Jersey Shore, Bulldogs and the Seals tonight.
That should be a really good game. That was a great win for Seals Grove last week, beating Berwick 17-14. So.
Yeah, pretty much all the scoring was done in the second half. Seals D tightened up in the second half, too. So let's see if they can keep that rolling. So.
Very good.
Jen, you over there? Right. Am I hearing?
I am here.
There she is.
Here I am.
Right.
I don't know why I'm here, but I'm here.
Okay. Number one, congrats. I understand that you got yourself into double digits on the golf course, which I think is awesome.
I did.
It's awesome.
Thank you.
Hey, we're golf partners there, right?
Yeah, I know. Well, I could have used a little help from you once in a while on my round, but it was all right.
Good. No, that's great. So you got into double digits, which is awesome. So we're proud of you for that.
Thank you.
And when it comes to the suit situation, first of all, the timing of the surgery was important because, I mean... If he could be back in time for the Purdy tournament.
Right. That's why we need him. It's not anything else that he does around here. It's just we need you to be in our foursome.
But did you notice that he conveniently chose the Bucknell football bye week to have the stunt? You notice that? You see the correlation there?
Well, he did tell me ahead of time that I would be proud of him for planning it out this way. And I told him it would have been better off if he chose the Purdy weekend.
Oh, my. And we are starting the rumor that he wore a suit into the OR, right?
Well, Inquiring mind wanted to know.
No, I texted him that. I texted him that. I said, during surgery, did you wear a suit?
There are so many places I could go with that right now. I'm just not touching it with a 10-foot pole.
You can after we turn the microphones off.
Exactly. I don't want to be getting phone calls from the SEC on a Friday.
Oh, what the heck? They release emails on Friday, so why not?
Oh, jeez.
I know they all think we're stupid. I got it. Okay.
Okay.
not everybody is. All right. But yeah, we can laugh because he's doing exponentially better. We were sent a picture of him in the hospital texting. Right? Was that's the one I got? Is that the one you guys got?
I saw the one where he was FaceTiming his son this morning, and his lovely bride capped it off 20 minutes and you're done, then she took the phone away from him. How she was able to pull that off, I have no clue.
Well, at this point, she can outrun him, so.
That's right.
You have to stand there and just hold it over your head and stand 10 feet from his bed, and he can't get it.
She could outrun him before.
Be nice. The man is lying in a hospital. Good night. Oh, dear.
He'll have a good night compared to last night. He's getting better. He's getting better
by the
minute.
He's probably got some awesome drugs, too.
Yeah.
He's getting nice.
Really happy.
He's getting better. Look, I sent him some serious texts, too. You know.
I don't know. He told all of us to leave him alone all week long. That's what he said.
He texted me back.
Well, that's because he likes you better than he likes the rest of us. Which speaks volumes.
He picks the spots.
That's just fear.
Since 2012.
Well, we want to get him back in time to play in the Purdy tournament because we've got enough people to make up for. But we want to get him back. Because,
no, you just want him there so you can borrow his cheddar.
No.
Yes.
No, I won't use that thing.
Oh, come on. Live a little, Steve.
First of all, I'm left-handed. I can't use it.
Oh, that's no excuse. It probably works better if you use it left-handed.
Well, you know what? Jack Ham, Mike Wagner, Ron Moeller, and I played at Chartiers about a month ago.
That's where I got married. Well, it's where my wedding reception was, for those of you who are keeping score at home.
Oh, wonderful.
Did not know
wonderful.
That.
It is a nice country club, is it not?
It is gorgeous. It is gorgeous. Next time I go there, I'll think of you and Brad.
You will. Anyway, continue with your story. I'm sorry, I interrupted.
So Jack and I are teamed, and Mike Wagner and Ron are teamed. Now, and we're going along. We're playing like the seventh hole, and I hit my second shot in approach in where let's say maybe 10, 15 feet short of the green.
I'm in that
area where I'm in the real short cut,
right?
Where I have an option.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm trying to see if I can lag it up there, and I'm either going to chip it or lag it up there to see if I can get a par. And so Jack walks by, and I said, I know what you would do here. He says, what would I do? I said, Jack, you'd chip. I said, you'd putt it because you don't think you chip well. He goes, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
So I chose, and I brought over a sand wedge and a putter. And, I said, you know what? I'll putt this thing. Why not? So I putted, and I putted up just to the right of the hole, about maybe 4 or 5 feet. And then I went to bend down to pick up the wedge I brought up there as my other option. And all of a sudden, as I'm bending down, and I'm leaning a little bit on the putter, I'm leaning down just a bit, and all of a sudden, I felt everything go down just a little bit. I'm like, oh, what the heck happened there? I looked down. My putter broke.
Oh, no.
And I wasn't leaning on it, but it was just just enough where, as I said, it didn't go like boom down hard. It was just it eased its way down because I wasn't leaning on it hard. And I walk up to Jack and I said, I need to borrow your putter to make this par here. And he says, why? And I show him the two pieces of my putter. He says, you got to be kidding me. So putting right-handed, I knocked it in. Right? And he goes, and allowed us to have the hole. Look, there was a couple dollars on this.
Aha! So,
and the exchange at the end did not go from us to them.
I see.
And so I had to go the next couple holes with playing right-handed. As a putting, obviously, all they had the other clubs, and Chartiers had an extra putter. They didn't have any for sale.
You're kidding?
No, they had because I'm left-handed.
Well, that is weird.
They had one bag, and they had one out of that. So then the back nine, I used that. Then I returned it, obviously. So then I went to the pro shop here. All right-handed putters, all right-handed.
Yeah.
I went to another pro shop here. All right-handed. I then went to Dick's Sporting Goods, and they had a beautiful ring of everything from Ping to the Titleist, whatever, all right-handed. I mean, and I asked all the clerks, do you have any left-handed ones? And they all said no. I'm thinking, you got to be kidding me. So I finally went over to this place here, Dunham Sports at the Nittany Mall. And they had like 7 or 8 of them. So I gobbled up one of those, and I'm back in business.
You might have should have gotten 2. I don't know. You're this hard on putters. Gee whiz.
Well, that's what I told Jack. I said, now the story is going to be very simple. That in a fit of rage, I snapped this thing in 2. Because I actually snapped a 5-iron once.
Wow. And
here's what happened. I was playing this time at the Penn State Blue Course, and I had to drive down the right-hand side on 1. But I hit it near a pine tree. So now I've got to take my next shot, and I turned around one of the clubs to see if I could hit it right-handed to get it out of there. And it's not going to work, all right? So I thought, okay, let's just turn around, and let's kind of reach a little bit around the tree here and take a couple practice swings. So I kind of reach around the tree, take a couple practice, and it's, you know what? I said, I'm going to, and every time the club hit the trunk, oh, my God, brother. So I said, you know what I'll do? I'll take it, and I'll just chop down on it and just punch it out. Right,
uh-huh.
And I was playing with Dave Baker at the time. So I said, Dave, I'm going to just chop down on this, just see if I can punch this thing out. I think it's the only thing I could do without breaking the club. So, of course, I chopped down on it. Naturally, of course, Bozo the Clown follows through and hits the trunk of the tree. It snaps the 5-iron.
Oh, yeah.
I said, well, Dave, I said, the story will be that, I said, again, just tell everybody, in a fit of rage, I took a full cut at the pine tree with my 5-iron. I snapped it in 2.
Oh, my goodness. I don't know. Maybe I don't want to play golf with you. You seem to have some anger management issues you need to work out.
I know. If I chop down on one, I break one. If I accidentally lean on the putter, I break one. My anger management through the laughter, it's just really, you know.
Right, exactly.
But I couldn't believe that I couldn't find a left-handed club.
Okay, how many guys are on the tour who play left-handed? I can think of 2. Are there more than 2 out of bajillion guys who are on the tour?
Watson and Mickelson are really...
Right, those are the only 2 I can think of.
Burnett, yeah.
So you people are weird. That's why we don't make clubs for you. You have to order them special, and you have to pay more for them, or you should. I'm sorry, is this not Opinion Friday on the Steve Jones Show?
Okay. Well, I didn't know if it was Rip the Host Day. No, I'm just kidding.
Hey, I was told, go get on a mic. Nobody gave me any instructions. You get what you pay for around here, Steve.
Yes, Jen. Yes, Jen. They argue like a married couple.
Nobody else listens to me around here, so I don't expect you to, but whatever.
Huh?
Yeah, thanks. Stop laughing in there, Sean.
But, yeah, I mean, and all the courses are designed for right-handers, too.
Well, yeah.
Well, yeah.
And your point is...
I'm just saying.
Okay.
I have a lot of built-in excuses before the first tee shot.
Here come the excuses, right? Uh huh.
Well, I love the game. You know that. So.
I do.
Hey, it's great hearing you. The big point above all was that I wanted to point out to everybody that you did something that was in the game big for you, and it
big
was great.
For me.
It was. Everybody has their own. I mean, and it's something you wanted to do. You got into double digits. That was great.
Yes. This has been one of my best years yet, but lessons help, I have to say. Having somebody stand behind you, because now I play, and if I hit it poorly, I usually know why. Whereas before, you just swing the club and go, I don't know. I don't know what happened. So now you can... I have a better sense of it. There's still things. There are execution issues. I need to take some putting lessons for my mother because she's a ridiculously good putter, and it annoys the cooties out of me.
Yeah. Now, that's one of the issues of playing golf with the suit. He analyzes every shot he takes.
Well, he does that about everything all the time. But yes, I mean, he does it about football games. He does it about basketball games. He does it about wrestling matches. He does it about his golf game. Do you see the pattern?
Oh, I do.
Okay. We should make him play the round in a suit.
We should make him play the round in a separate cart. All right.
So. We already did that. Oh, Kevin. I'm glad he is well. We're getting well.
Yes.
Weller.
We're glad he's getting well. He's bouncing back. He's bouncing back. And we think the all-liquid diet's going to be good.
I don't know what he's going to whine about now.
Don't you worry.
Yeah, he'll come up with something new.
Are you kidding me? That list is longer than Santa's. All right, so... Hey,
this has been
great. Great to hear you.
You too, Steve. Have a nice weekend.
Yeah, I will. All right.
Bottom of the hour coming up.
I know we got some spots we have to make up for. I understand.
Yep, we'll do that. Go right into the news. We're good.
We're brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Stock up tonight. Tell them that we sent you. Will I get a discount? No, but it'll make us feel good. Tell them we sent you on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Imagine feeling the raw power of a 400-horsepower twin-turbo V6. And match that with all-wheel drive and the ultimate in comfort and technology. Experience the zen-like feeling for yourself. Stop by our showroom and experience this incredible American luxury vehicle, the new 2017 Lincoln MKZ. It's more than a car, it's an experience. Sunbury Motors Lincoln in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza in Sunbury is waiting for you to come and experience the complete lineup of Lincoln luxury vehicles. Sunbury Motors is making that luxury an affordable reality with 0% financing for 60 months and $1,000 cash back on 2016 Lincoln MKX, and 0% financing for 60 months and $3,500 cash back on 2016 MKZ hybrids. Comfort, performance, style, and luxury are all made affordable at the Susquehanna Valley's home for affordable American luxury, Sunbury Motors Lincoln. Check out our inventory online at sunburylincoln.com or visit us today in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza in Sunbury.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket, imports, domestics, microbrews, the best selection of beer anywhere. What a great selection they have. You want wine coolers, water, soft drinks? They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day. Snacks? Ooh, plenty of great snacks. And the pickle bar is second to none. Man, that pickle bar is unreal. I mean, love the dills, love the barrels. It really is great. Oh, that Brewer's Outlet. Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. By the way, the United States is off to an incredible start at the Ryder Cup. We're going to get to Tony DeFazio in a moment. Today, at the beginning of the round, they placed the bag of Arnold Palmer on the first tee. But it wasn't any bag. It was the 1975 Ryder Cup bag of Arnold Palmer. Do you know what happened in 1975 in the Ryder Cup? The United States won all four of the morning matches. That's the last time they won all four of the morning matches. Until today. Arnold's bag out there in the first tee. And guess what? The United States, for the first time since 1975, when that bag last was on the course, the United States won all four morning matches. Incredible. 1927, and this day in sports history, Babe Ruth hit his 60th home run off Tom Zachary of the Washington Senators. Record stood until 61 when Roger Maris broke the record. 1934, Dizzy Dean won his 30th game. Last National League pitcher to win 30 in a season. 1971, the Senators played their last game in D.C. before moving to Arlington, Texas to become the Rangers. They were forced to forfeit the game to the Yankees when fans stormed the field in an effort to take souvenirs. 1973, Roberto Clemente, the final hit in the regular season of his career. His 3,000th double off John Matlack in 1972 against the Mets. Hank Aaron finished the 1973 season with 713 home runs. 1984, the Rams set an NFL record when they recorded three safeties against my hapless Giants and won the game 33-12. A disgrace. And in 2002, Chris McAllister of the Ravens returned a missed field goal 108 yards to set an NFL record at the time. That's this day in sports history. Time now to bring in Tony DeFazio, Pittsburgh Sports Report. Tony, welcome. Great to have you back.
Always good to spend a Friday chatting with you guys. How you doing, Steve?
Yeah, same here, Tony. How banged up are the Steelers heading into this one?
They're mentally and physically banged up. The Eagles did a job on them in both of those fashions. Reeling, coming off of an ugly loss, the ugliest loss and most lopsided loss in a quarter century. Maybe more importantly, physically, you're right. Their defense, not exactly the strongest unit anyway. Is decimated too heavy a word? Probably not. A couple of guys from the secondary are missing. Sean Davis is banged up. Robert Golden is not ready to play. Lawrence Timmons is possible. Ryan Shazier probably won't be on the field. Jarvis Jones is banged up. So they're not in good shape. There's no question about that. And like I said, it's not just physical. They're not, they cannot be in the best of shape mentally after what we saw last Sunday.
You're telling me that offense only produced 3 points? That offense produced 3 points, Tony.
That was the amazing thing. The defense, like we said, we knew they were going to struggle. They were banged up. To me, that wasn't as shocking as the 3 points. It started out with a very impressive drive, a drop touchdown pass by Marcus Wheaton and a blocked field goal. And that was it. They could have saved themselves about 3.5 quarters, about 3 hours of time if they had just gone home after that blocked field goal, because it just got uglier and uglier. The rest of the way. And, what that did show, I think, well, first of all, there's two things that stood out to me. One, Ben Roethlisberger had a bad afternoon. Now, his yardage is going to look good because they did throw the ball. And when you're down 34-3, you can pick up chunks. And they did that. But, he didn't look sharp. He had his worst day of the season, and he hasn't been sharp all season. So, really, two, I think, mediocre games followed by a bad game. I think that is something that would make me a little bit nervous. When you're a quarterback of Roethlisberger's age and you put together a couple of games like that in a row, the questions start to come, whether it's fair or not. So he's going to need a bounce back game. And two, the only guy he could trust throwing the football to last week was Antonio Brown. If Antonio Brown doesn't get much help, it's a lot easier to guard number 84 if you don't have to worry about anybody else. So we saw that at times last year, and we saw that most of the afternoon on Sunday. They're going to need more from the rest of their receivers and from the rest of that passing game. Getting Le'Veon Bell back should help in every one of those categories, but they've got problems, and we saw them all. I think Philadelphia exposed them all last week.
It's three games. Do they have to ease Bell back in, or can they give him a full load right away?
There's got to be some level of rust. One thing, and I've been pretty critical of Bell for his off-the-field choices, and I think his trust, his teammates and his coaches trust in him to take it a major shot. But one thing that I will say for him is he has always been in tip-top condition. I think his conditioning is going to be absolutely fine. However, that said, a full football game is something you don't just jump into, and he hasn't played one of these in about a year. So I guess a little bit, slightly less than a year. What, about 10 months, I guess? So, I think it probably will take a little bit of time, but the curve for him shouldn't be as big as for a lot of other players, because his conditioning has always been, has always been excellent.
Outside of Antonio Brown, what should Ben Roethlisberger's trust be in the other guys?
You'd like to think it should be relatively high in Marcus Wheaton.
I agree.
This is a guy who's been around for quite some time and has made some big plays. But he had three drops last week, and they were crucial. All of them crucial drops. Obviously, it doesn't get much more critical than a touchdown pass. Right after that, he dropped a ball on a third down that would have given him a first down, and he dropped a pass that would have been about a 25-yard gain on another play while they were down. I think they were down 13 points at that point. So they were three big drops. Now, Roethlisberger's smart enough to know and has been around enough to know You know, maybe it was rust, maybe it was just a rough day. He'll probably go back to him early, I think. But, and, you know, he may make it a point, because he had a bad day, to go back to Wheaton early. But if we don't start to see some catches quickly, you know, then I don't know what he can do. I don't know what his trust level is going to be. Jesse James has been solid. But again, you're going from Heath Miller, maybe the most trusted guy in Roethlisberger's career, to somebody who's not Heath Miller. Doesn't matter who he is or how well he's played, he isn't Heath Miller. And, you know, so that's going to take some time for that to work out. Sammy Coates is explosive, but he's been inconsistent. And, you know, again, that's where you go back to number 84. And when you can only trust one guy, you start to force the ball. When you force the ball, you start to turn the ball over. We saw that last year at times as well. So that is an issue. Now, I'm not saying that the Steelers are going to go, you know, 2-14 here, but they definitely have some issues that they need to work out. His trust level in Le'Veon Bell will be high, and you will see Bell split out wide at times Sunday night.
Yeah, and he runs, and I've mentioned this how many times, Bell runs routes like a wideout does. I mean, he cuts, he shakes guys because of how he runs routes, and that's what makes him a really good professional receiver as a running back. It's going to be the battle of the Penn State tight ends, Jesse James and Ross Travis.
There you go. Didn't even think about that. A good point.
This is a remarkable story, though. Pat Chambers, I believe, is going down to the game. He's taking the Antonio Gates road to the NFL.
Right, right. It's amazing.
It's kind of an amazing story, isn't it, to see this happen?
You know, well, it is. And I think that Antonio Gates has maybe taken away the amazing level for this because he did it so seamlessly. It is really, really difficult to do this. You know, just going to play football after not having played for so long is tough enough. The level at which he's doing this is, I mean, it's really all, again, if it weren't for Antonio Gates, this would be unheard of. And Gates, like I said, the guy's a Hall of Famer. That just doesn't happen. But yeah, what Ross Travis is doing is that there's a lot of power forwards across college basketball that you look at and say, boy, he's built like a tight end. There are very, very few of them that actually show up and do it. If you remember Chevy Troutman, a former Pitt basketball player.
Sure, yeah, absolutely. Williamsport.
He had a tryout for a weekend with the Redskins, and he talked about it. He said it was the most difficult athletic day of his life. He just, was just raved about how it was almost impossible to do what they were wanting him to do. He was saying, I understood what they were asking me to do. I just couldn't do any of it. And this was a guy who was a very good power forward and on a very good team in the Big East, when the Big East was a very good conference. So, to me, that just, again, shows this is a very, very difficult thing to do. Antonio Gates made it look easy, and it is anything but.
Yeah, I mean, I knew Ross could catch the ball because Ross always had really good hands. My question was always whether he'd be able to block in this league, because it's just something you're not used to after playing basketball. So it really is a remarkable story. How tough's it been the last 2 weeks for Pitt? Because the games, every game except for the opener with Villanova, they've all been close.
They've all come down to essentially the last play. Within the last minute. I mean, last play other than a couple of kneel downs. But it really has been remarkable. What is happening defensively to this team, Steve, is something I've never really seen before. They are among the top in the nation as far as sacks. They're getting after the quarterback. They are stopping the run, but everybody is throwing on them almost at will. And it started, it started with the Penn State game. And really, people talk about the second half of the Penn State game. Penn State turned the ball over in the first half a couple of times. They were moving the ball against Pitt. So there really was no moment against an FBS team where they didn't move the football, in the air. And, again, for a team to get after the quarterback and get pressure the way Pitt is and still to struggle this much in the secondary is really unbelievable. Steve, they're 127. There's only 128 teams. They're 127 against the pass. It really is remarkable. And you can look at the run stuff and say, well, yeah, no one's running on them. And there's some truth to that, but they're only giving up 2 yards a carry as well. So they have it's just an unbelievable thing. I've never seen it before for a team to be this good in one aspect and this awful in another. They're going to have a chance to get it fixed. The level of competition does drop a little bit, not a ton, but a little bit. But now, Steve, they're challenged with the idea that everyone's going to come in and throw and throw and throw. They're going to have to fix this with their backs against the wall. It's going to be an interesting month to see how Pitt responds defensively.
Yeah, it is interesting because a guy like Price, for example, he can get pressure on anybody. That's as fine an undersized defensive end as there is in college football. I mean, he really is. I mean, he may be undersized, but he's really good. He's so quick off the edge. He is. He's really
the reason I'm chuckling because this is Price's sixth year. He had 2 years completely wiped out to injury, so the NCAA did give him a sixth year. And all you hear after games is, okay, can they get him a seventh year? Can they get Price back for year number seven? because they will miss him when he's gone, no question.
Yeah. The Pirates. Glassnow's going to go tonight. All right, so this is kind of a weekend to do at least some experimentation. Do the Pirates as an organization feel that despite this year, they're still close?
I think they do, but I don't think they expected to be here where they are pitching-wise. I think they were really counting on Francisco Liriano to pitch well throughout that three-year contract. That didn't happen. There's some concern, certainly, about the way Gerrit Cole's season came to an end. And now I think if you're a betting man, the money is probably on Cole to have a bounce back year. It really seemed like injuries were a part of it this year, and he's as tough a competitor as he is, I think there's decent money on him to have a bounce back year. I think they like their lineup, Steve. But what I don't think is that they realized they were going to be in such they're in a quandary pitching wise because of the starting rotation. You know, they've got a bunch of young arms. Cole, they think they can count on. Tyone looks like he can be a guy that can be maybe a two or a three. But again, everybody else is really a question mark. Even some of the young guys like Chad Kuhl, who have pitched well. Even if they re-sign Ivan Nova, can he really give them, a season like he has pitched the last 2 months? That's a stretch because he hasn't done it for a long time. So they're not in a great position right now unless they make a trade of a major asset, and that would be an Andrew McCutchen or maybe a prospect. So to me, that's what makes this an interesting offseason. Do they move a position player or a prospect or two to get a big-time pitcher? That's going to be the interesting thing.
Well, they acquired Nease for Walker. That didn't work.
Right.
I mean, literally, I'm not making fun here. In all seriousness, I mean, that was the intent of the Nease trade.
Without question.
Walker had another year in his contract. I think they were concerned about the number they'd have to pay him. Didn't. Yep. And then the figure guy like Nease, I think, was going to be under contract a couple more years. But
you're right. That's one of the bars that they've set for themselves. If they do try to go out and get a guy that they can plug into the top of the rotation, it's going to take more, than a Jonathan Nease. Can they find somebody who they can afford to pay for at least a year or two? It's going to be very interesting because I think they love the lineup. I really feel like they can win with their position players, but they need help at the front end of the rotation.
Yeah, that's a good point. Tony, great weekend. Thanks a lot for the time.
Appreciate it. Thank you, Steve.
Always great to hear from Tony DeFazio, Pittsburgh Sports Report on a Friday. Beat writer from the St. Paul Pioneer Press next half hour, and then my brother, smelling blood in the water, wants to bury me. On News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket.
True refreshment can come in many forms, but it can only be found in one place, the Beverage Supermarket, Brewers Outlet in Sunbury. Along with their great selection of beer, including imports and microbrews, they have lots of water, soda, fresh roasted peanuts, and an unbelievable variety of pickles at the pickle bar. Look for great deals on wine coolers and your favorite snacks, too. Get true refreshment all in one place, the Beverage Supermarket, Brewers Outlet in Sunbury.
All right, so today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury. The Beverage Supermarket imports domestics, microbrews, best selection of beer anywhere. And on top of that, wine coolers, water, soft drinks, snacks. They roast the peanuts fresh and hot every day. That pickle bar is second to none. Wow. All at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury. The Beverage Supermarket. And I'm in the Sunbury Motors studio, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. All right. So We've got the beat writer from the St. Paul Pioneer Press coming up next half hour. My brother, final half hour, looking at, I think he thinks he can just bury me now and then I'm done. Cooked, fried. Au contraire, mon frere.
It's still early. I keep saying that. No way.
That's because you say that out of fear.
There's one pick, though, that may surprise you that's coming up, so.
What?
I'll have one pick that will surprise you coming up.
What?
That's true.
David, on our Facebook page, didn't Anthony Zettel get flagged in a home game for targeting last year and it was overturned by a replay? Absolutely. I said that the other day. How was that replay capability different than what happened versus Michigan? It's the person. Whomever the person is on the replay is the human being that makes the decision. They're different people. One saw one differently than the other. That's the reason why. His opinion, I agree with Matt McGloin. We'll never get those calls, especially in Ann Arbor. Last year in a game in Ann Arbor, Michigan was playing Michigan State, and a Michigan player, Joe Bolden, got pushed into the pile by a Michigan State player, and they threw the Michigan player out for targeting. I'm sure the NCAA and Big Ten does annual review of their officials. Whatever they're doing, it's not working. Actually, the reviews, David, are done every single week by Bill Carollo in the Big Ten office. Bill has been a guest on our show twice. He's always given us time. And Bill does reviews almost instantaneously and gives them to him on Sundays. But Dave, thanks for the...
You're listening to News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury. You can hear us anywhere in the world with the Sunbury Broadcasting Corporation app.